When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Casey Covers Country.
Good Friday morning. It is good. It literally is Good Friday, Easter weekend, and Beyonce's new Cowboy Carter country album dropped today, and you bet your ass I listened to the entire thing before 7 a.m. just so that I could do a deep dive with you here today. First, I want to say let's go ahead and just get into all of the biggest country headlines of the week, and then we will jump into the Beyonce album because I really thought, you know, maybe I can talk about Beyonce first, and then I listened to the album, and I can't. There is too much to be said. So that is coming up right after all the Casey Covers Country stories of the week. Love when an artist brings out an unexpected guest. We all know what happens here in St. Louis. It's always going to be Nelly. But in other cities, it's kind of fun to see who they bring out. Like Zach Bryan, he was in Brooklyn earlier this week, and he had an enormous surprise for the fans. He invited out Bruce Springsteen on stage to join him. And it was only fitting that the entire show leading up to that, Zach had actually been wearing like a vintage Bruce old tour t-shirt. Almost as like an Easter egg, I guess, to tell people what was coming without actually telling them what was coming. And Bruce came out, they sang an unreleased song. They also sang some more of his music, like, Zach's music, like obviously one of his biggest hits, Revival. And I really wanted to play a clip for you of that. But you know it was such a fun and crazy concert when all of the clips and videos I find online are just too loud and rambunctious with crowd noise to actually hear the music behind it. What an iconic performance. So I posted it to our Facebook page and our Instagram because I still think it's worth watching because I wish I was there. Brooks and Dunn are raising some money for the University of Texas football team. So they're performing a concert at the home of the Longhorns in a fundraising effort alongside Yellowstone artist Ryan Bingham and some more celebrities and things. And you know me, not a mega sports girly, and I'm here alone, so feel free to jump in on the text line and educate me on this. That's 314-699-4766. But I'm reading this as, now that paying college athletes is allowed, schools are leaning on fundraisers and things to supply the money that basically encourages high school students to come to their university or encourages current players to stick around instead of going to pro early or instead of transferring to another school. So correct me if I'm wrong, but does this mean that Brooks and Dunn are like raising concerts to pay college students? And I totally get it. College athletes, they work so hard. They should be paid. I understand. But is it not just a little weird to anyone else that it's like headlines today, Brooks and Dunn raising money for, where is it again? The University of Texas football team. To pay the 18-year-old six figures, baby, that's where we're getting it from? I don't know. It just hit me as a little weird, again, because I don't know. I guess I don't know about it. But it's not monumental because Eric Church has done this already. He's a major Carolina fan. Everyone knows that he played a show last year to raise money for the same reason for the University of North Carolina. And tickets to his show were upwards of $1,500. And then what? That goes to pay the college athletes? I don't know. I would love to hear all the deets if you know them. Maybe it's because I'm always reading stories about how artists are doing big things for like charitable organizations that this hit me a little weird. Feel free to jump in on the text line, sports fans. I need to be enlightened. Hardy is at it again with another Hicks tape, this one honoring Joe Diffie. So it's only right that it's called the Diff Tape. So Hardy's been making these like mixtape albums for years now, getting all of his country artist friends on these albums to do collab songs and now covers. So this album is going to be 17 songs featuring only songs by Joe Diffie, but done by artists like Clint Black, Larry Fleet, Randy Houser, Luke Bryan, Old Dominion, John Party, Lainey Wilson, Tracy Lawrence, Chris Young, Nate Smith, Mark Wills, Ernest, Aaron Tippin, Randall King, Haley Witters, Darius Rucker, Brooks and Dunn, Blake Shelton, Reba Co-Wetzel, Luke Combs, Toby Keith. Oh my gosh, Morgan Wallen's on it, Post Malone's on it. Hardy really called up all of Nashville and said, listen, I want to do a tribute to Joe Diffie, and you're all going to help me. You're all going to hop on it. Like I said, this album comes out tomorrow. And of course, we already know one song from it. If you were ever wondering where the heck that Post Malone Joe Diffie collab of Pickup Man came from, this is where it came from. It will be on the album. I'll post more to our Facebook page so you can see the actual track list there. The Hicks tapes are always good from Hardy, so the Diff tape I expect to be no different. Jason and Brittany Aldean are clearing some things up. They went on a road trip yesterday, and so they decided to do a little Q&A on Instagram while they were in the car, and they dished on a few topics that I feel like they've actually touched on multiple times. However, one of which I had never heard of before, Jason says that the internet cannot figure out how old his wife Brittany is and that the entire internet has the wrong idea.
Was Britt born in 1988? No, she was not. She was born in 1987. And everything I've ever read says she was born in 88 too, but her parents say no. It was 1987.
Apparently, the whole internet has been fighting over how old this girl is. She's about to be 37, I think, if my math is correct. They also get into why, when they're taking videos and pictures in the car, is Brittany always the one driving? Jason's always in the passenger seat. And he goes on to say, you know what? Not only is she a crazy control freak, but she has severe motion sickness. She gets really car sick. She's always the one that's driving. And then they go into, you know, what do they do when they have trolls? Anytime they see it on their Instagrams, their Facebook, whatever, if you've got negative comments, they're going in, they're blocking, they're deleting. They say they just don't have time for the BS anymore. Maybe I'll repost this to our Facebook page so you can follow along there. Gabby Barrett's opening up about the moment that Luke Combs texted her and said that he had a song for her. Not a song for her to hop on with him, but a song to keep for herself. So she explains that she was in the bathtub when Luke Combs texted her saying that he had a new song that would fit the stages of her life, and it's actually her current single, Dance Like No One's Watching. She says, quote, I'm in the bathtub. Luke texts me and says, hey, I wrote this song with a couple friends. We told our publishers not to share it with anyone because I wanted you to hear it first. It just doesn't make sense for me to sing this song. He saw her as the right artist because she's always telling these sentimental stories about being a mom and how close she is with, you know, her husband, her kids, her faith. And this is the story of a father-daughter relationship, specifically at like a wedding, a father-daughter first dance at her wedding. So she recorded it. Luke is featured on the song. It's gorgeous. It kind of sounds like this. Texting you a song and say, hey, here you go, here's your next big single. This one's on me. Let's get into it. Beyonce dropped her Cowboy Carter country album today. And like I said before, I really did listen to the entire thing so that we could deep dive it here day of before the rest of the world really gets their hands into it. So here's the experience that I had. First off, I was really excited about this. And you know, if you've been listening to this podcast or to WIL, because any chance I got to bring it up, I did. The first song, American Requiem, it comes in hot. It's saying, here I am. What's country? And who's to say that I'm not country? I haven't been, or that I wouldn't fit, because guess what, girlfriend? I'm right here. Beyonce really makes a statement in the first song just to set the scene. I also have to talk about all of the features and interludes on this album, because most notably, Willie Nelson, Dolly Parton, Linda Martell are on the album, and Beyonce had made a statement probably a week or two ago about how she had some pretty big features on this album and people who meant a lot to country music. Obviously, these are the ones that she had mentioned. Willie Nelson, Dolly Parton, Linda Martell, they pop up in different interludes. They introduce songs. I love Willie Nelson's interludes. They're called the Smoke Hours. There's two. And it features him as he was before you knew him as a country superstar. It features his voice as a radio DJ on a country station, which is exactly what he did before his music took off. A lot of people don't know that, but it's one of my favorite fun facts about him, and I loved hearing him in that light, I guess, to pay tribute to not only that part of his life, but it really does do a great job at keeping the album moving. Dolly. Okay. So we cannot help but draw the similarities between Jolene and Beyoncé's song Lemonade, right? Both essentially saying the same thing. Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Don't take him just because you can. But before the Jolene cover, we hear Dolly Parton call out Becky with the good hair, and it is so good. Oh my God, I loved it. But I also should mention that the Beyoncé cover of Jolene is not a cover. It's a sample of Jolene. She changed almost all of the lyrics, made it so much more soulful. Now she's a wife. She's a mother. She's telling this woman, I am warning you about what will happen if you keep trying to take my man because you don't want this heat. She's changed the lyrics to like, Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Don't take that chance just because you can. It really adds more depth and layers to the song. And if I'm being honest, I think it makes it more realistic to the experience that Beyoncé probably had when this happened to her, aka Lemonade. And moving on to the song Bodyguard, I knew that title was interesting because, like I said, I'm not a huge Beyoncé stan, but I know that rumor that she is hooking up with her bodyguard, Julius. And the song starts with a narrative about hooking up in the back seat of a car. So I thought, wow, is she just trying to get us talking here? Is she just trying to stir the pot? But then I was listening to The Toast yesterday after the track list dropped, and they had a funny theory that Bodyguard is the movie where Whitney Houston sings, I Will Always Love You, I Will Always Love You is a Dolly Parton song originally. So there's definitely layers and depth to it. I think a better Beyoncé fan would have more tea and juice on it, but it definitely caught my attention. I also thought the title Spaghetti sounded wild. Had no idea what it could possibly be. And this is the point on the album where she turns it up a notch. Hip hop country, if you got to put a label on it. But in my opinion, Beyoncé albums can't even have a label because she does what she does. She does what she wants. And this song is so much fun. It really proves it. Plus, Shaboozy's on the track and the Linda Martell intro is perfect. I skipped over Daughter, but there is a lyric that really stuck with me and it says, double cross me, I'm just like my father, I'm colder than Titanic waters. This song's really deep. I'll be honest, I think because I don't know Beyoncé's personal life the way other fans will, I don't know if she's actually talking about being a daughter or having a daughter or being the daughter of like straight up the Lord, because it has a serious religious element to it as well. But that line really stopped me in my tracks. Double cross me, I'm just like my father, I'm colder than Titanic waters. Okay, Alligator Tears. Alligator Tears gave me Proud Mary undertones. I really thought that she was going to jump into a Proud Mary sample with this, and it never really does. But what is more interesting is that the term is technically crocodile tears. Like, that is the coined phrase when you're talking about somebody crying in sincere tears. You call it crocodile tears. But then I started thinking, crocodiles are not native here. Alligators are native to the southern states, but most notably the ones where Beyoncé has family history, Alabama, Texas, Louisiana. Alligator Tears. Very good. I see you. And then this woman put Willie Jones and Miley Cyrus and Post Malone on the next three tracks. Like, okay. The Miley and the Post Malone songs will absolutely be on my regular rotation easily. I mean, again, call me surface level, but just give me the catchy poppy vibes for everyday stuff. And then we get to Yaya, which is an experience. Just like Linda Martell introduces it, it is an experience. It is so much fun. It's like they put 2024 Beyoncé in a Black Southern Baptist church in the 60s. It's blues, it's R&B, it's hip hop, but it's country. It's traditional, it's not traditional. It's modern, but it's vintage. It's explicit, and I love it. This is the stuff that we come to Beyoncé for. And if we're getting into lyrics, there is also a line in Riverdance that feels so lyrically Taylor Swift to me. It goes, I died. Someone brought me back to life, but never to my senses. That could be a Taylor Swift line easily. Taylor fans know exactly what I mean. And if we keep it moving, Two Hands to Heaven and Tyrant are also added to my personal regular rotation. They're so catchy and vibey. And of course, we've already had Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages for a while now, so you don't need me to get into that. But yeah, for the most part, that's the album. All in all, I think Beyoncé is so talented. She didn't make this album to send a bunch of singles to country radio. She did it to make statements on statements. The first one being that she won't be put in a box and she is what she is. And no one should be able to knock her for that. And it goes all the way back to that statement she made a couple weeks ago about being at that 2016 award show performing with the Dixie Chicks, wanting to dip her toe into the country world and being unwelcomed. Unwelcomed in a genre that she was raised in. You know, if we really get into it, country music, it doesn't just stop at Tim McGraw and Alan Jackson. It originated from that Southern working class, whether you want to point it to the 1920s blue collar life, go all the way back to the blues, to slavery. She didn't just make a country album. She made a Beyoncé album. She's in a class of her own. The girls that get it, and the ones that don't probably didn't listen to this episode. Have a great Easter weekend. I will see you next week. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Casey Covers Country.